Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. Today, I'm your host, Jess Baker, and joining me as delightful co-host is the amazing Roxanne Lawler. Hello.
Oh, hello, Jess.
Welcome, welcome.
Oh, high praise.
You've got very small shoes to fill in terms of co-hosting, so I'm sure you'll do an amazing job.
Oh, my gosh.
What's new in the zoo?
I've been op shopping a little bit lately. Mm-hmm. That's been fun.
That was a big event.
That was for the women. Yeah, we had like a women's event, Op Till You Drop. And yeah, I totally dropped and opped. Yeah, got a lot of things. I got some really nice Calvin Klein jeans on right now.
Delightful.
I know.
From the op shop.
I know.
What a time.
Well, for Hopefield.
I don't quite have the skill of op shopping. I need you know, a catalogue and then I just pick that out.
It has to be online.
But mixing and matching at an op shop, it does stress me, but it did look like an amazing day.
Yeah, it was
unfortunately,
a bit of a
shoot. I was working. A bummer. Yeah. But otherwise good?
Yeah, otherwise all good. What about yourself?
Nice. Yeah, just plodding along.
Yeah.
Just growing a human.
Growing a human.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I'm doing, really. Certainly not doing anything else.
Enough.
It is delightful to have you.
Thanks.
And we're excited for your thoughts. Well, for those of you who missed it, our associate pastor, Matt Willis himself, preached during our services this past weekend, continuing in our service, a series, Renovation, Rebuilding for Purpose. Matt spoke from the book of Nehemiah, speaking about the invitation to have an honest encounter with our reality. You can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. And so today in the Big Three, we're going to keep the conversation going from Matt's message. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Matt, but Roxy and I will be putting the big three questions to him as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. But for now, Rox, I'm interested in your initial thoughts. What stood out? What did you like? What did you hate from Matt's sermon? Be brutally honest, please.
Oh, I loved it. I just thought Matt smashed it out of the park. He did such a brilliant job on that one.
So encouraging. And I was looking for something a little bit more juicy, but that's fine.
I didn't like his outfit. No, just kidding. I don't know. What was to hate? Nothing really. Yeah, what stood out? I really liked the challenge to be real and to look at our reality. I thought that was probably a standout for me. I mean, we're going to talk about the pause button and just sort of looking at things before we go and make changes.
Yep.
But, just to be real, and I think that really speaks to modern life. I've been getting really annoyed with Instagram lately, like social media, because I'm like, none of this is real. Like all of it's, you know, heavily filtered and heavily curated and it's not real and it's not authentic and it's starting to annoy me, Jess.
Yeah, which is good if you can see past that and know that it's not real. But for a lot of people, it's so dangerous because they get caught up in like, why doesn't my life look like that?
Oh, my gosh, to compare and contrast. Yeah. Your reality with somebody else's heavily curated, you know, highlights reel, which is crazy. So I think for me, just to the challenge to look at our reality and face that, and that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
And there's actually growth that comes from that experience.
Yeah, and it definitely is a challenge. It's confronting to be vulnerable with people, but I think talking about that, it's okay if we're standing in our life and it's rubbles and fire everywhere and like it's just an absolute mess, because that kind of shows us, okay, this is not working. Where's God leading me to?
Yeah.
What does he have in store for me?
And the more you kind of stand in that space and cry out to God and look in the rearview mirror, you can go, actually, you know what? I've been in this place before.
Yeah.
And God's pulled me through and he's rebuilt the walls. He's, you know, fixed the gates and he's moved me on and he'll do that this time too. So.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's good.
Delightful. What great thoughts coming out of the sermon. Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the big three questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Rox, what questions do we have lined up?
Oh, some crackers, Jess. The first one is, how do we begin to remove fear of failure in our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole, you know, deep need there, the fear of failure, how do we remove
it? Small fear we've all got. Very good.
Number two is, how do we establish a culture of vulnerability in our community?
Very important.
Ooh, yes. Third one is, why is this an important step at a corporate or community level rather than just an individual one? Mm-hmm. So taking it from ourselves and pushing it out to our wider community.
And what will that kind of do for us as a church, which would be nice. Mm. Well, we've got no idea. We can't answer these. Absolutely ignorant. Can't do it without Matt. So let's bring him in. Matt Willis, amazing associate pastor. Welcome.
I have such a problem with that.
That's just, I mean, you're the wisdom in the podcast today.
Just like, oh my
god. You're in the big seat, in the hot seat.
Oh, Lord. Hello, my friend.
Hello, hello. Now, you ask me this question every week, so I'm going to ask you, what's new?
What's new going on? Listen, I don't even know what weighs up and what weighs down at the moment. This is the time of the year where you're meant to feel like...
Yeah, things are getting
you're
back.
You're really like launching from a place of feeling refreshed and mm-hmm. restored after maybe some time off and all this
it's
kind of stuff.
February.
My gosh, I feel like I am drowning.
Oh,
like,
dear.
Let's just talk a little bit of vulnerability.
Yeah, that's it's been a long year
it's
already.
It's been a long year and it's only February. I don't know if I'm the only one, but it just feels like normally like when you start a new year, you feel like you can really leave the old year behind, mm-hmm. but it just feels like this COVID thing is just...
It's really lingering.
It's a stage five clinger and it just won't let go. So, you know...
Yeah.
It's a time. But I'm excited to be here at the Big Three.
Very good. Just one more thing I have to do in my life.
It brings joy. It brings joy.
Very good. Well, it's delightful to have you here and we're excited for your wisdom. We really are.
I really need you to stop promising that's going to be
we're excited
the
for you
byproduct.
To speak words.
Just to say things.
Into a microphone.
To fill silence. Yeah.
That's what we're here for, let's be honest. Alrighty, guys, let's jump into the Big Three.
All right, Matt, question number one is how do we begin to remove the fear of failure in our own lives?
Yeah, I love that. Just casually.
Just
like,
casually.
Come on, guys.
Solve all our problems.
So easy. Like, let's get the formula out. No, I think, like I said in my message, this is something that is so ingrained in our culture and is such an undercurrent and has been, I think, for as long as humanity has existed, really. Like even Adam and Eve hid in the garden when they realized they'd done a boo-boo. Like, yeah. And so...
it was a
doozy, but like, let's not shame them. Come on. And like, we've just continued that pattern throughout history. Mm. So like, it's there, but again, like I said on Sunday, that it because it is just so ingrained, it's... Sometimes we don't even notice that it's there. And so I think one of the things that we can do to kind of start to unravel ourselves from this kind of cultural fear of failure is to identify where in our culture that's being fed into us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I was thinking about this, like, so where do I see a fear of failure being kind of fed into my life? And I actually, the first thing that came into mind is, so I've got three young kids mm-hmm. and my sons and I my sons are growing up in a time that is very different to the time that I grew up. When I grew up, if you lost at a game, you lost at a game. Mm. Like
yeah.
You were the loser and there was a winner
yeah.
And now my sons grow up in a world where everyone gets a participation ribbon yeah. And everyone mm-hmm. did great, and like, don't get me wrong, like I don't want to see my sons crushed and their spirits like diminished but I think even in that kind of really tiny way, it's because there's this fear of, oh well, we don't want our kids to know that they've failed. And actually, like, I've got a huge problem with that, because again, like I said on Sunday, you will never grow. You will never be dissatisfied. You will never have a motivation to change if you're not given a reason to. And failure is a great reason for personal growth, for determination and motivation to try and to put effort in and to seek more. And so I think even like at a very young age, we're kind of being fed this narrative of we don't want to use the F word. Like, we don't want to say fail. And I think that just continues to be perpetuated throughout our society. Like, Rox, before you were saying social media. And I mean, like, I feel like any sermon that we say, we can use social media as the illustration of what has gone wrong in our world. I feel bad for it because I'm sure there's some good uses for it. I've just yet to find them.
The good use is that they target me with ads of things I desperately need in my life.
Instead of going to the op shop.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. But again, it's this whole idea of we filter our lives and we present our lives in a way that removes the gunk, right? Mm-hmm. And removes the mess and removes the chaos. And whenever someone dares to present an authentic reflection of their life, they get slammed. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that a post on social media is the best place to kind of divulge your deepest,
not
darkest secrets. It's not a safe space, and it's not going to establish the kind of conversation that would be helpful for you to kind of work through that. But having said that, the people who, like, I've seen do that just get ripped into. Yeah. Like, it's this, how dare you bring that into this space? Like, and again, it's just all people want to see is the glossy and the perfect and the polished. I've even, again, Rox, I'm on a similar journey to you, like, where I have such a love-hate relationship with Instagram. I love the reels, but, like, they also grind my gears in ways I never thought possible. But there's this thing where, like, a whole bunch of people with a filter on are talking about how these filters can't be believed.
Yes.
But they've got the filter on. Like, even when they're calling out a disingenuous representation of life, they're presenting it through a disingenuous representation of life. So I think there are so
little
many
steps, one at a time. Yeah, just,
we're all working
out. It's too much for us though, to show our real face.
But so I think it's important to identify the areas of your life where you're like, okay, this is, and I think we've all got different, like, it's different for all of us. I think there are some key things. Like, I do think the way our media works, I think that impacts everyone because there is just no escape from it. And so this messaging, and I want to say subliminal, but it isn't even, it's just overt, like messaging of a perfect life. This is what it needs to look like in order to have value, in order to be prosperous, in order to be successful. And so I think identifying those things helps kind of loosen its grip on us. And then it becomes less this innate, ingrained element of our culture that we're unaware of, but that by even just having an awareness helps kind of loosen its grip on us and its influence on us. Mm. And then I think for us as followers of Jesus, there's then something else that we can do. Yes, we identify how a fear of failure is kind of perpetuated in our society, but I think in order for us to kind of remove that fear, I think, like, the Bible narrative is a really helpful place because, you know, over and over and over again, God uses the failure. He uses the broken. He uses the marginalized. I am yet to find a person in Scripture who God kind of lifts up who was the perfect example of someone who you would expect.
Jesus. We had to
just
say
on
that.
The top of my head, in 0.2 seconds, I can find one for you.
But that is God.
Messiah, yes.
Clearly what I meant is a human who is not also divine. But, you know, like, just like Moses, wasn't allowed in the promised land because he failed, but God still used him. Like, Abraham was the father of the nations and, like,
stuffed it,
like, made a nation that kind of wasn't supposed to be a nation. Like, David, like, you know,
what
take
a great
your pick.
Guy.
Take your pick. And even Nehemiah, you know, he's someone who had very little status, so much so that his job was to test poison. Like, being the cupbearer was like, we're okay with you being the one who dies as long as it's not the king, right? So, like, all these people who society would have kind of gone, you're a bit of a dud. You've got challenges, you've got struggles, you've definitely failed. And God's like, oh, them are peeps. And so God does not fear failure. God has no problem with failure in the sense of that we have shortcomings. Obviously, I'm like, sin has an impact in our life and it plays a role in our experience of reconciliation. But I think when it comes to, oh, I'm not the right type of person or I'm not the right type of Christian, we actually, like, that's never been God's narrative.
Yeah, he's not naive to the fact that
no.
we suck.
Yeah,
he's
not, no, yeah. no.
Nothing takes him by surprise.
And do I thoroughly appreciate that about him? Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. And so, like, if God doesn't fear failure, then we shouldn't. Mm. And Mark has said this a number of times in the Big Three, and I'm about to butcher it, so please just go with me. But, like, we kind of go, oh, on a scale of 1 to 100, like, even at my best, like, even if I'm 99, like, God's actually on a scale of 1 to, like, infinite. Mm-hmm. And so even the difference between being a 10 out of 100 and a 99 out of 100 is really insignificant to God's scale of 1 to all eternity. So, like, I think our 99 is still kind of, like, pretty basic for God. And so, and yet, you know, he is so gracious in using us and giving us an opportunity to be written into the story that he is writing. And he has never shied away from using the broken and the failures of the biblical narrative. And so if he's not scared of our failures, I don't think we should either. Now, that's not to say that we should be complacent with our failures, but sometimes I think we allow fear to just overwhelm us to a point where we hide from our failures or we hide our failures from others for fear of being found out.
We don't try anything.
We don't try anything. Yeah, absolutely.
I think sometimes too, Matt, we can kind of get caught up with mixing our identity with our success or failure as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So sometimes, you know, we think just because I've failed, that means I am a failure. And actually that's a very different thing to saying. I actually tried this thing and it didn't work, and that the project, the task, the relationship, whatever it is, failed. That doesn't necessarily mean that I am a failure.
Yeah.
Like, our identity needs to be grounded in, you know, who we are as Christians, as people beloved by God, as people who are saved, who are redeemed, who are called in a relationship with him, all this good stuff. And we need to be able to kind of disassociate in some respects from, you know, I am not a failure because, you know what, Jesus has redeemed me and rescued me and my identity is found in him. So on a really deep level, I think we need to understand that.
But again, I think that sense of identity being tethered to what we have achieved or not is, again, a message that's perpetuated by our society. Because it's an all or nothing. Like, you are either a winner or you are a loser. It's like, oh, actually, like, I don't believe that. Like, that can't be, like, that is not, our existence is not black and white. Our identity is not black and white. Because there are definitely things that I've lost at. There are definitely things that I've failed at. And there are moments where I can kind of learn from that and kind of be like, okay, well, here's an opportunity to grow and maybe try again and learn from that. And then there are other moments where it's like, well, that failure has actually demonstrated to me that maybe that's not the path I'm supposed to take. That failure is maybe a bit of a closed door, and that's okay. But again, like you said, Rox, it's that moment might be a struggle or a challenge or a failure. We are not. Because we're image bearers. And therefore, like, nothing that God does is bad.
No, it's good.
He said
good.
It is good, and good. We were a part of that. And so let's just cling to that.
Great. It's always resilience. Got. Very good.
Amazing.
All right, guys, let's jump into question two. So, Matt, you talked about this kind of slightly toxic culture of metaphorically wearing our Sunday best. Yeah, I mean, we can turn up in nice clothes. That's all well and good, delightful.
I love a good get up.
Yeah, for sure. But how we kind of wear a mask, not just a literal COVID mask, which is, you know, story of our lives right now, but we can wear a mask and think, like, everything I present on a Sunday is my best, and there's nothing else going on back there, no issues, no sins or temptations or whatever. So how do we kind of start to break that down and establish a culture of vulnerability in our community?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important first to understand that there are various levels in which we can be vulnerable, and there are various spaces in which that vulnerability kind of takes place and takes shape. And so, like, I'm not calling the church to come to church. beach on a Sunday and for us to like make a line at the pulpit where everyone just kind of publicly confesses everything that's going wrong in their life.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That would be a nightmare.
That would suck.
It would also take a really long time. It would be practical. Yeah.
Church would go for hours. But also like that's not a safe space. But do I think that there needs to be a language and a conversation where we collectively acknowledge the fact that failure is a part and struggles and challenges are a part of our journey of faith, that being a follower of Jesus does not make life easy and does not mean that everything is amazing and goes our way? Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Like I remember the first time, you know, I was late to church. I came to GBC when I was 19 and like I remember coming into this community and I mean everyone was amazing and I saw everyone as being amazing and what that meant was I was like, well, I'm the scum of the earth and everyone else here is like perfection. And it was because that like there just wasn't a language around like, no, we're all on a journey.
Yeah.
We're all trying to figure this out. So like, you know, I think as a community of faith, we can bring some of that language into the way that we talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then I think you kind of move down into like those deeper levels. So obviously I talked about that discipleship context of you and a few in Nehemiah when he goes for the walk around the wall. He takes a few with him, but they weren't the nobles or the officials or the Jews or the priests. They're not named, they're not mentioned again. Nehemiah's on a horse and they're kind of just walking along behind him. Like they were just there to be there, it seems. Mm. And that context of discipleship of you and a few, those people that you can be intimate with and vulnerable with and real with and have trust with, I think that's a really important space for all of us where there's safety there to have those authentic conversations and those honest conversations about, hey, actually I'm really struggling with this or I'm feeling really challenged by this or I feel like I'm failing in certain areas of my life or in my journey with Jesus. And then you go even further down into like our relationship with God and where, you know, I think it's Psalm 139 where it kind of talks about like nothing can be hidden from his eyes. He knows my going up and my standing up and sitting down, my going out and coming in. Like we cannot hide anything from God, but there is something outrageously powerful about bringing it to him. And that's what it is to be in a relationship with God. Otherwise, you know, if we just counted on God just knowing it, like God just knows that I'm struggling, and it's not really a relationship. It's just kind of, it's supervision almost. But like if we're going to be in a relationship with God, then we actually need to be willing to name it before him. And like, to be honest, like I struggle with that sometimes. Like that's been a huge thing where, you know, early on in my journey of faith, I felt like I couldn't pray to God if I'd failed in my faith that week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd want to, but I was like, oh gosh, I'm just so unworthy. I'm such a bad Christian that like I can't come to him. And like I had allowed fear and shame to actually separate me from God. There is something very freeing and there is a release in kind of naming it before God and just allowing it to fall at the foot of the cross. And that is ultimately the safest place we can ever kind of acknowledge and encounter our failures is before God. And so I think, you know, that's what I mean. Like there are layers to where we can be vulnerable and layers to how vulnerable we are. But I do believe that at a corporate level, we need to bring the need for vulnerability and the need for authenticity to actually be honest about what it is to be on a journey of faith, what it is to be in the world but not of the world, what it is to be countercultural in a society that has such expectations about what it means to be a person, to have value and have identity, when, you know, scripture tells us such a different story. I think we need to talk about that more and just kind of be like, yeah, hey, this is hard sometimes. Like, this is complicated. There are differing ideas and differing opinions, and sometimes there's just a lot of noise in our world. Let's just kind of take a moment to kind of be still in that and acknowledge it, not try and fix it. And that was a big point. Like, too often our fear of failure drives us to fix things quickly. Normally when you fix something quickly, you don't fix it very well. And it ends up falling to pieces later. I think there's such value in kind of going, no, we're actually going to be people who acknowledge the need to just kind of be still and to stop and to just understand the struggles. And that may not be naming the struggles out loud at church on Sunday, like I said, but it as us as a community, we can still kind of talk about how that's an important part of our journey of faith. It's an important spiritual practice. And there are ways in which we can invite that into our culture. You know, life groups even are a great space where we can talk about this, and maybe we don't get into the nitty-gritty of our personal experience, but we can still start to unpack the value of naming our struggles and naming our failures. And I think when we do this more in all areas of what it is to be a part of a community of faith, and what in all areas of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, then that's when you start to shift culture. And that's when people kind of go, oh, actually, I know that I've got a few people in my life where I feel really safe. But I also know that I come from a church that speaks quite openly about the need to kind of be honest and be real and be authentic about the struggles that faith presents us in a world that has really left God behind, and, you know, can be quite antagonistic towards institutions of faith, and there's a lot of animosity and hurt and mistrust of the church. Like, you know, these are the things that we need to be talking about, not just like, hey, everything's great, because it's not. Like, it isn't. And the more we talk about it, I think the more we open up that conversation, and the more people feel safe then and kind of go, oh, actually, I can be a Christian and not have all the answers. I can be a Christian and not be perfect. I can be a Christian and actually have challenges and maybe even fail from time to time.
It's good stuff.
Revolutionary.
That's good. But it's true though, like Jesus himself says, you know, in this world you will have trouble, right? You know, but then he goes on and says, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
Right? So there's this double-edged thing where, you know, that you're going to expect trouble. You know, Jesus talks to the disciples and he said, if they're going to persecute me, guess what? They're going to hurt you too.
It's coming for you.
So, but it's this balance of you're going to have troubles, but I have overcome the world. So the underground, you know, the underneath sort of aspect of that is that Jesus has overcome the world, that he has given us the victory in Christ. So there is good under that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot.
But we're in the now, not yet.
Yeah, we like, totally
Jesus
are.
Has conquered the grave. Yep. It's happened, guys. Yep. Like sin has been defeated. Won,
but we're still in the battle.
But we're still in the thick of it.
Yeah.
So there will come a time where we can say with all truth, like failure is gone.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be in this.
It's not in this life.
In this life.
Yeah, in this life.
So stop expecting it in this life, because you're just setting yourself up for major
disappointment.
And
to be, as you say, just so real with people, you know, to be congruent.
Yeah.
You know, like this is my life, you know, it is, you know, shades of black and white. It's not all sunshine as much as we would love it to be. I love it.
Sure. Very nice. Alrighty, let's get stuck into question 3.
All right, Matt. Question 3. So we're talking about vulnerability and in our community. Why is it this such an important step at that sort of corporate slash community level, like at that big level, rather than just an individual level.
Yeah.
So why is that sort of vulnerability? You know, what's it going to do for the what's it going to do for the church?
Yeah. Like I do believe that it's an like there is an individual invitation in it, and it's important that we, as individual followers of Jesus, seek to incorporate a willingness to pause and stop and encounter a true reality of our circumstances as part of our spiritual practice. Like, I think that's super important. And I actually think that that's probably where it starts. If we're not willing to do it at a personal level, then we're never going to see it at a corporate level.
Yeah.
But I'm also aware that for us as a church, as GBC right now, we're at the beginning of a really significant season of discerning God's will for us. Mm. It's the heart behind our theme for the year. It's the heart behind this series that we're doing in Nehemiah. And we hope and pray that it will shape who we are and what we prioritize as a church community for the next 5 years coming. Yeah. So it has the opportunity to really define what this local church, GBC, does and how it participates in God's plans to restore and renew all things. Because, I mean, every church is doing it.
Yeah.
Every church is participating in
that. We're all on the same mission, people.
We're all on the same mission. Go figure, it's one kingdom. Yeah, but the way we do it will be different to the way the church down the road does it. And that's the beauty of the local church. And so I think, you know, all the principles that apply to us as individuals about why looking at and considering and seeking to understand and reflecting on our struggles, our challenges and our failures, all the value that comes from that as individual followers of Jesus apply to us as a corporate body of Christ as we seek to discern what the next 5 years and beyond might look like for us. And so if we want to be a church who are really engaged in the new that God has in store for us, if we want to be a church who are on board and ready to participate in the work that God is doing and the change that he's bringing about, then we need to first understand, like, where we're not doing that great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that whole analogy that Jesus used of the vine and how, you know, mm-hmm. God comes through and he prunes the mm-hmm. branches that aren't growing. Like, we are also invited to do some pruning. Mm-hmm. And so if we just kind of go, well, everything is going great, then again, we're never going to seek something new. No. We're never going to consider that next opportunity, that new opportunity, that innovative idea to take the gospel and take what God is doing in our lives as individuals to the world. Mm. And so that was a huge point of my message, that I wanted people to really understand that our failures can actually provide the soil in which growth takes place. And so if we want to be a church that grows, and I don't mean numerically, like I don't mean like, oh, we just want to be the next mega church. I mean like that we're growing in our maturity as a body of Christ, as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus, then we need to understand that, hey, maybe there are some things that we are doing that worked 20 years ago that may not be working now. And there's actually nothing wrong with naming that and kind of going, oh, maybe that's not the way that we need to be participating in God's plan anymore. Maybe God's changed that a little bit. Maybe there's a way that we can shift that or renew that or review that. Mm. And so I think that this is really important because I think, you know, churches at this, it's such an interesting entity because everyone's got skin in the game. Like we're all at church because this is significant for us. Like this is both as individuals, but we're invested in this community. We want this to be a thriving community where people feel welcomed, where people feel transformed, where people feel like they can experience the presence of God through worship and prayer and scripture and teaching and community and all those things. We all want that. Like I'd be surprised if there was someone who showed up every Sunday, sat in the same seat every Sunday and was like, nope, not about it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. And it's such a... it's such a personal thing for all of us. And that's the beauty of what it is to be a part of church. Like, we're all here. Mm. We're all invested. Mm. Like, we all want this. But that also means that it can be hard.
Yeah.
Like, because it's personal then to kind of go, well, maybe there are ways in which we're struggling. Mm. Maybe there are challenges that we're not dealing with very well. Mm. Maybe there are ways that we're failing. Because guess what? The church can fail.
Yeah.
And has.
I don't think it ever has. No. Look back through history. It's been on point every time. No one's been traumatized.
You might need to listen to my message again. And that, like, don't get me wrong. That process is hard. Mm. That pause is hard. And I acknowledge that. But nowhere in scripture are we told that if something's hard, we should avoid it. If anything, God and Jesus and the epistles constantly say, like, actually the hard stuff, like you said, Rox, you should expect it. It's coming, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And you will be refined through it. Mm. You will grow through it. You will, your character will be shaped by it.
Mm.
And that is true as individuals. That is true for us as the church. And I'm – this discernment process, I'm super excited for. I'm super excited for what it will look like and what it will mean and what it will stir up for us as a church this year. But I'm actually super excited because I think it will become – my hope and prayer is that it will become a practice that we just continue, that we continue to be people who are discerning, that we continue to see that as an integral part of what it means to be individual followers of Jesus and also the body of Christ as the local church.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to continue to discern, as I hope and pray that we do, it means that we're going to have to continue to reflect and pause and consider where we struggle, where we're challenged, and where we fail.
Mm.
And that's actually really good. That's actually really healthy. It's actually really powerful. And if we're going to be a church who does that, I actually think that we will see growth and opportunity and change. And I actually think that we're going to see the restoration and renewal of all things. And I'm excited for that. And so, you know, this can't be something that we just do privately in the quiet of our own homes. It needs to be something that we do collectively so that, you know, like I said, the Israelites at the time of Nehemiah were failing at their covenant relationship because, you know, they were riddled with idolatry. They were scattered through the nations. Their city, which was the center point of their national identity and their relationship with God, was in ruins. And they were not living out that covenant goal of being a holy nation where people, the nations, could look at them and say, we understand that you are God's people and he's your God. We want to continue that covenant relationship. We want to continue that covenant goal so that when the world looks at us, they say, we know that you are God's people and he is your God. And I think that discerning his will and being willing to acknowledge our failures and be vulnerable in that space and allow that to shape the opportunities that God will shed light on for change, I think that will show the world something really profound about the God that we follow.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. So, Matt, another thing that went out last week was like this thing called the long read, which Mark Rader, our senior pastor, kind of put together.
It is
a very long read.
It is.
Like 12 pages.
We've all read it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're very invested in the church. Yeah, yeah. And we were told to do so.
And you know what? If you don't want to read it, you can have the long listen,
which is available.
So if you want the dulcet tones of Mark Rader in your in your ears as you go for your walk, you can do that. But that explains a bit about the process that the church is going through this year, this listening to the discernment process, listening to the invitation of God.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, as you said, we've all got skin in the game, everyone's invested. Well, this is how we're going to invite people in this year to listen and to be prayerful and to wait on God, right? To actually ask God, what is it that you have for us?
Mm.
So if you haven't you know, Red Long Red or Listen to the Long Listen.
There's get the free plug.
It. Get amongst yeah, it.
Yeah, it's not the big three without a free plug, is it?
Well, it just sort of aligns no, so absolutely, much.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, if that stirs your spirit, go for it, you know. Mm. It's what we want.
And I believe it will.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. It is a cool thing, actually. I think I'm really excited about this as a church, that we have this opportunity to just press the pause button for this year. Mm. And we're inviting, you know, the priesthood of all believers. We believe, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit in you as a Christian and God's going to talk to you and listening to that voice and having our little discernment group, shape that for us. Be exciting.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, so these aren't just empty words or a nice little pipe dream. This is like, this is what we're doing this
it's
year.
Like a legit plan.
It's happening.
Yeah,
it's like a four-stage plan.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, so look around at the rubble around you, identify what's going on, and have a pray.
Start praying.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great. Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you, Matt, for imparting your delightful wisdom.
I don't believe you when you say those words.
Yeah, look, I can't say anything genuine. It was sarcastic, but it was good stuff.
I think that's more a reflection of our friendship.
Yeah, for
beautiful,
sure.
Beautiful. No. Love that.
Beautiful. Nice to have you in the hot seat today.
Thank you. All right. I'll catch you later.
Beautiful. Alrighty, Rox, was there anything that kind of stood out in that conversation? Anything you want to kind of reiterate or you know, keep talking about?
Oh, I don't know, man. It was a lot going on there, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good challenge. I think probably the thing is, like, what's our next faithful step? Yep. That would be kind of what I reckon we should think about is what is it that God's actually asking us to do? Mm-hmm. And like we talked about this, you know, this four-stage discernment process that we're doing all year, but what are we doing as individuals, you know, like, what's our little step out of this? You know, it's nice to listen to, you know, Matt's passion and his enthusiasm for this topic, but what does that mean for me and what does that mean for you, right? Yeah. You know, like, are we going to be, you know, putting something into action tomorrow or this week? So I guess I'd be thinking for myself, what's my next faithful step in this, you know?
Yeah.
What do I need to, you know, front up to, you know, my failures?
Yeah. And where are you up to in that process? Have you still got your blinkers on? You think everything's sunshine and roses, or have you admitted it to yourself and admitted it to God? And the next step is to bring it to that safe space of your few people or whatever that looks like. But kind of, what's the next step? Yeah. Give that a crack. It's okay to fail.
It's totally okay to fail. Yeah. I know. I'm thinking of Thomas Edison, man. You know, like, how many times did he fail to invent the light bulb?
Mm-hmm. And here we are in a bright, shiny room with no windows.
Yeah, with fluorescent lighting. Didn't do that, did you, Edison?
Well, it was great to have you on the podcast today,
so
Rox.
Good
we
to
will
see you.
See you again soon.
Coolio.
Have a good week. Alrighty, guys. If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services on Sunday and you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give it a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small and no question too big.